Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Say, fellas and girls, when you see top-action Hollywood movie stars in daredevil stunts, think of the breakfast tip that many of them have for you. Here's what they say. Every morning, eat a heaping bowl full of nourishing, delicious Quaker Puff Wheat or Quaker Puff Rice topped with milk or cream and fruit. Yes, sir, wheat or rice shot from guns furnishes extra health values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. They're good for you. And so swell-tasting, they can't be beat. So get next to delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat, the nourishing, ready-to-serve breakfast cereals shot from guns. John Taunton sat alone at his son's bedside. The boy's eyes were closed, and his breathing was scarcely noticeable. John watched his face closely. The old man's eyes never wavered, not even when he heard dogs barking outside the house, nor a few moments later when the door of the bedroom opened and a tall, broad-shouldered sergeant of the Northwest Mounted Police stepped into the room.
Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Sergeant. Sit down.
Thanks.
He's dying.
Let's hope not.
The doctor must have told you.
Well, he said there was still a chance.
No.
John, the men who did it have over 3 days' start. I'd like to get after them.
I can't tell you much.
Well, they'll talk for a little, and you were alone with him until the doctor arrived. Tell me what he said.
He'd been down at the hotel. He noticed a light in the store, and he decided to investigate. Didn't have to unlock the door. It had been forced open. When he stepped inside, he saw three men standing around the safe.
Was the safe open?
No. They didn't get anything. I wish they had.
Did Bill recognize any of the men?
He knew one of them by name. He called himself Montana.
And the others?
Well, Bill had seen them around town. Short, stocky man with a full black beard. The other one was taller. Red hair, red beard.
But all three of them are practically strangers in Beaver City.
That's right. They've only been here a few days.
You saw them yourself, didn't you?
As I drove away. Bill was calling for help inside the store. I went straight to him.
You fired after them?
Twice. It was snowing hard. I don't think I hit him.
Which one fired the shot that hit Bill?
Montana. He didn't give the boy a chance. He fired as soon as he stepped inside the door.
Ah. According to the doctor, Joe and Ed Sawyer tried to pick up their trail.
They lost it. It was almost a blizzard.
But when they left town, Montana and the others, they were heading southwest into the hills.
Yes. Bill. Bill.
Easy, John.
He's gone, Sergeant. My boy is dead.
Yes, John. The charge is murder.
Before the sergeant left Beaver City, he wrote a complete report of the robbery and killing to be taken to Dawson by the first express sled. Then he started out after the criminals.
On King! On, you Huskies!
It was a cold trail, a trail that was bitter cold. And it led south and west, away from the Yukon and all the densely populated creeks. There were no sled tracks to follow, and only an occasional trapper shack or trading post where they could stop for shelter or ask for information. But the sergeant was convinced the killers must be hiding out somewhere in the white wilderness between the Klondike and the Stewart River.
Up front, boys. All right, on, King. On, Huskies.
Each day, the sergeant and the team set out, and each night they made camp, usually in the open, usually with a temperature at 50 below, until the days had become a week. 1 week, two. 2 weeks, three. But never did the sergeant consider the possibility of giving up the pursuit. Every hill and every creek in that whole vast area must be searched.
On, you Huskies!
It was nearly a month after the shooting at Beaver City that two young chichacos were sitting at a corner table in the Monte Carlo Cafe in Dawson.
We're just too late, Clint. We might as well admit it.
Oh, not yet, Denny. Maybe another strike.
Not in the Klondike. Every crick's been staked from mouth to source.
Well, we've got plenty of money. We can afford to stick around a while.
But what's the use? I've seen all of Dawson I want to see. Now, the best thing for us is to save our money and get back to the States.
Beg pardon, gents. Couldn't help hearing what you were saying.
A disreputable-looking sourdough had been edging close at the table, and now, without waiting for an invitation, he pulled up a chair and sat down.
But you can take the word of an old-timer that you're all wrong. I can tell you where there's plenty of gold left in the Klondike.
Yeah, so can I on the Bonanza and the El Dorado. All I said was that all the good ground has been staked.
No, sir, no. I can name a creek that hasn't been worked at all. There's one spot on it that's loaded with gold.
Well, then why haven't you staked a claim there?
Well, I'm too old to work it.
That's no reason for not staking.
Well, you got to work a claim, you can't hold it. That's why I never filed on it. It would just start a rush, and then where would I be? No, I've been hoping I might find some young fellow who was strong and had some money who'd go partners with me.
There must be plenty of them around. Take me and Denny, for instance.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you about this crick of mine. You'd just laugh it off like the rest of them.
Now, wait a minute, mister. Why don't you give us a chance?
You mean you're interested?
Of course we are.
No, I'm too old to take you up there. Country's too rough.
Well, you could draw us a map.
Yeah, that's right, I could. But you need a lot of money. The way prices are now, not only food and dogs and sleds, but special equipment, too.
What kind of special equipment?
A boiler's the main thing, so that you can thaw out the ground with steam.
Well, I saw one of those contraptions down at the trading company yesterday.
Yeah, I seen it myself, and it cost $2,000. You'd need an extra sled to carry it and an extra dog team.
What would you say if we told you that we had the money to swing the deal?
I guess I wouldn't believe it.
Oh, it's true, though. You're looking for partners? Well, what's your name?
Baldy Spencer.
Oh, I'm Clint Adams, and this is Dennis Gardner.
Right, glad to know you, man.
Let's talk business, Baldy.
I'd only want 10%.
If it goes where you say it is, we'll count you in for a third.
Oh, I wouldn't deserve that much with you doing all the work and putting up all the money.
A third it is.
Maybe you're promising a lot because you don't intend to give me any. You wouldn't have to, you know.
We'll draw up an agreement.
Now, that's more like it.
Well, come on over to our hotel room. We'll do it right now.
Sure.
Right.
There's no time like the present.
That's right.
Half an hour later, the agreement had been drawn up. Clint and Denny signed both copies and pushed them over to Baldy.
Now, you, Baldy.
You write my name. I just make my mark. It's neater that way.
Okay. There. There you are.
There. And there. Yes, sirree, that does it. Now we're partners.
And now you can start telling us where the creek is.
Draw your map while I do it. First, take the Yukon south till you get to Indian Creek.
Yeah?
That's about 30 miles. Then you turn east. You follow the Indian for nearly 70 miles. You'll see a high mountain to the south.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you're opposite it, you'll find a creek flowing into the Indian from the north. It's called Wolf Creek. It's the right fork you want.
Sourdough continued with his detailed instructions for reaching Wolf Creek. When he had finished, his new partners asked him question after question. He had only one warning.
All I ask you is that you don't tell anybody where you're going. Don't mention it to a soul until you got the claim statement.
Don't worry about that. Come on along and help us buy our equipment.
Well, I'll be glad to help all I can.
We'll need your help, Baldy. We don't want to forget anything.
The two young men bought a complete outfit, including a boiler. And 2 days later, they were ready to start. Each of them drove a team. Baldy waved goodbye to them from the bank as they headed south along the frozen surface of the Yukon.
Goodbye, boys. Good luck.
But as soon as the sled had disappeared around the first bend, his expression, his whole appearance changed. He laughed.
That's the long way, boys. It'll take you 6 days. It'll only take me 3.
Half an hour later, Baldy was riding the runners of his sled as he urged his team up the Klondike.
Fight, boys! Fight!
He followed that stream as far as Hunker Creek and then swung south. At night, he camped at the foot of the ridge that separated Hunker and Dominion. It took him nearly the whole of the following day to cross the ridge. But he made fast time down the Dominion, and on the afternoon of the third day, he had reached Indian Creek. He swung west, and an hour later, he was driving up Wolf Creek, a desolate gulch rimmed by heavily wooded ridges. At the fork, he swung to the left.
Ha! Ha! You'll take the right fork. Mush!
10 minutes later, he rounded a bend and saw the campfire. Three men sitting around it jumped to their feet and went for their guns.
Never mind the hardware, it's only me. Oh, there.
Never mind, boys, it's Baldy.
Hey, you've been gone long enough.
Well, it took me a little time to transact our business. It's a good thing there's one of us that dares to show his face in Dawson.
Are the Mounties looking for us?
That's right, Montana. You and Shorty and Red. They got notices posted outside headquarters. Big story about you and the Nugget a couple of weeks ago, besides.
They got descriptions?
Yeah, pretty good ones, too.
You're in this, too, Baldy. Was you that put us up to that job in Beaver City?
Now, don't get excited. I'm taking care of you, ain't I?
How about that? Don't look like you brought many supplies.
Well, I got a couple of jugs of whiskey.
What about food?
Some.
You want us to stay here the whole winter and wash out gold?
You won't find a safer place than Wolf Creek.
How are we going to live without food?
It's all been arranged, Shorty. Food and equipment's on its way. Plenty of food and equipment. Even a boiler to make your work easy. You can trust old Baldy.
Yeah? Well, I don't. What do you mean it's on its way?
One of my better ideas, if I do say so. A couple of young Chicharcos are bringing the stuff up.
What?
Bought and paid for it themselves, too. They'll be here in about 3 more days.
Why, you dirty...
All right, Red. I sold them on the idea that there was plenty of gold here. Up the right fork, I said. They'll be making camp just over this hill in 3 days' time.
And if they see us...
What can they do about it, Red? You're not going to let them tell anybody you're here, are you?
I get it.
Good, Montana. I'm glad.
We get rid of them and take the supplies.
Unless we decide to let them work for us a while. We can always get rid of them, Montana, after they stop being useful.
We'll continue our adventure... in just a moment.
Hooray! Hooray for old Pete! I'm struck a ditch!
Yippee! Hey, cut it out! Stop jumping around in that creek. You're splashing water all over yourself and everything.
Water be hanged, lad! Look at these here gold nuggets.
Gold? Why, to me, they just look like ordinary stones.
Say, if you'd pan gold as long as I have, you could tell they was genuine gold nuggets.
Was that so? I guess there's always a way to tell the real McCoy of anything.
Sure, always is.
Like I tell the fellas and girls, Quaker popped rice and Quaker popped wheat are never sold in bags or bulk.
That sounds important.
You bet. To get the real McCoy, the original crisp, fresh rice or wheat shot from guns, you always buy the big red and blue packages with the smiling Quaker man on the front. That's your guarantee.
Hold up, lad. Did I hear you say shot from guns?
Yes, sir. The one and only Quaker Pop rice and Quaker Pop wheat are shot from guns. You see, Pete, That tells you they're the delicious breakfast cereals that are exploded up to 8 times normal size, so they're bigger and better tasting.
Yeah, just like gold nuggets. The bigger, the better.
Exactly. Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice are king-size premium kernels that are puffed to perfection. Deliciously crisp, yet so tender they melt in your mouth.
Mm-mm. Sounds tasty.
Why, I just wish you could taste the delicious nut-like flavor of Quaker popped wheat or Quaker popped rice.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Now let's go. All we have to do is pour out heaping bowlfuls of Quaker popped wheat or Quaker popped rice. Then top them with lots of milk or cream and fruit. And as all you fellas and girls know, Quaker popped wheat and rice are not only swell tasting, they're nourishing too. They both furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. For the real McCoy in a breakfast treat, always reach for Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Now to continue. Sergeant Preston's methodical search of the territory between the Klondike and the Stewart River finally brought him to the headwaters of Indian Creek. As he started west, the sky clouded over and the wind rose. It was 40 degrees below zero, and the signs pointed to a blizzard, so he made an early camp. By the time the storm broke, he had constructed a windbreak of pine boughs that protected the dogs, himself, and the campfire from the howling wind. It was pitch dark. Nothing could be seen beyond the circle of light cast by the fire. But as the sergeant began to crawl into his sleeping bag, King growled deep in his throat.
What's the matter, boy?
And then the growl changed to a whimper of concern. The great dog looked up into his master's face. He seemed to be telling the sergeant there was something out there in the darkness that demanded the sergeant's attention.
Huh? I wonder if it's some traveler lost in the storm. Well, he'll see our fire, King.
King took a few steps forward and looked back at the sergeant.
Somebody in trouble? All right, boy. If you think we ought to investigate, we will. Go on, fella.
It was impossible for the sergeant to see anything. He held King by his harness and allowed the dog to lead him. 100 yards beyond the campfire, King stopped and nosed a mound of white. The sergeant brushed the snow aside.
The man has been wounded. It's going to be a battle getting him back to the fire, King. Well, I'll try carrying him. If I can't make it, I'll get the sled.
The sergeant lifted the man in his arms. No one without his superb strength would have been able to fight his way against the storm with such a burden. And even the sergeant was close to exhaustion when he finally reached the fire. But without any hesitation, he started giving the wounded man first aid.
Shot in the back, just below the left shoulder blade. Couldn't have walked far with a wound like this. That means that whoever shot him somewhere close. Keep watch, boy. I don't think he'll die, though. He's to the left of the heart and his pulse is strong. Probably knocked out by exhaustion more than the wound.
The sergeant had cleaned the wound and was preparing to bandage it when King growled a warning.
Somebody out there? Well, I can't stop this now.
A command rang out from the darkness.
Open your hands.
Steady, King.
The sergeant was wearing trail clothes, caribou shirt, trousers, parka, and mucklocks. There was nothing to identify him as a member of the force. And for the moment, he decided to remain incognito.
I said put him up. Make a fine target during the light.
You'll have to wait until I finish with this bandage.
Take your gun out of its holster and throw it this way. Hurry up or I'll shoot.
The sergeant obeyed and continued with his work. He didn't look up when he heard the man's footsteps and realized that he was standing directly behind him.
Who are you?
What difference does that make?
Answer my question.
You tell me your name and I'll pick a different one.
Pretty cool custom, huh?
In this weather, it's easy.
Smart, too.
You said that, I didn't.
Well, I'll show you how smart you are. I'll put a bullet through your head.
No, you won't.
No?
If you had nerve enough to do it, you wouldn't talk so much about it. What's the matter? You've already shot one man.
I didn't shoot him. You gonna die?
As he spoke, the man leaned forward, his hand with a pistol and a little to one side. The sergeant moved fast. He grasped the man's ankle and jerked upward.
No!
The man toppled backward. He pulled the trigger, but the shot went high. And before he could shoot again, the sergeant had a heel on the man's wrist. Calmly, he twisted the pistol from the man's grasp.
Oh, you're covered. What's more, you're under arrest in the name of the Queen.
You're a Mountie.
Now who's being smart? Come here. Let's see how these handcuffs fit.
I haven't done anything.
So far, I'm only charging you with attempted murder. But who can tell? You might have been more successful other times. Red hair, red beard. When were you in Beaver City last?
I had nothing to do with it.
Then who did shoot Bill Taunton?
I swear I didn't do it.
You'll get your chance to swear before a judge. Where are the others?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What is it, King? Oh, I see. Our patient's showing signs of life. Come on, Red. Hello.
Don't kill me.
Not a chance. I wouldn't think of wasting that bandage I put on you.
Who are you?
Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police.
Sergeant Preston?
Who are you?
Denny Gardner. It's Red you've got. You'll catch him. Where am I?
In my camp. I found you out on the trail.
Remember, I ran as far as I could.
Where from?
Wolf Creek. When the storm broke, I thought I could get away, but Montana saw me. He shot me, but I kept on running.
You were being held prisoner?
That's right. Clint and I. He's still back there.
How did it happen?
Paulie Spencer. He told us there was gold on Wolf Creek.
Yes?
We bought supplies and equipment and came up here. They were waiting for us. We're going to make us dig gravel for them and pan gold.
The end of the trail.
What?
The men with Baldy. There was Red here, Montana, and a short, stocky man with a black beard?
Yeah, Shorty.
I wanted for murder. I've been trying to find him. How strong are you, Denny?
I don't know. I guess I'm all right.
Could you shoot a gun if you had to?
Sure.
But you keep Red covered for an hour, perhaps 2 hours.
Sure, but why? Where are you going?
Well, we can't get along without the fire. We'd freeze. But sitting around it this way, we make perfect targets for anyone coming up the trail, and Montana isn't Red. He won't hesitate to shoot.
You're going after the others?
When Red doesn't come back, they'll start looking for you, too. If I don't go after them, they'll come after us. I can wait a few minutes, though.
No, I'm fine. I'm feeling better every minute.
If Red makes a move, shoot.
I will.
Here's his gun. Ready to fire. Where's the camp on Wolf Creek?
The left fork. Can you find your way in the storm?
King can. Let's go, boy.
The wind was at their backs as they left the camp, but it was still impossible for the sergeant to see anything. King had no idea where his master wanted to go, except that it was somewhere down the trail. All he could do was keep their course straight. But although the mouth of Wolf Creek was completely blotted out by the driving snow, he stopped when they reached it. There were men up the creek, but there was also one man straight ahead of them. Which direction did the sergeant want to take?
We've come far enough, I think, boy. Now, let's see. Yes, this is the opening of the creek. This way, boy. From now on, we keep to the left.
Okay.
King understood that order. He followed the left bank, and when he reached the point where the creek branched out, he took the fork to the left. It was not long after that that a red glow stained the darkness ahead.
There it is, King. Good boy.
All sound of his footsteps blotted out by the raging storm, the sergeant fought his way straight toward the campfire. But it was not until he was 20 feet from it that he could see the figures huddled around it. There were three of them.
Shorty and the old sourdough. The young one must be Denny's partner.
Sergeant stepped into the circle of light, his gun drawn.
Don't anyone move or I'll shoot.
Sergeant Preston.
Yes, Baldy. You and Shorty are under arrest.
You can't arrest me.
I already have. These handcuffs prove it. And a pair for you, Shorty.
Sergeant Preston.
You must be Clint.
Clint Adams, yes, sir. My partner, Denny, Sergeant. He ran away. Montana shot him, then they went after him.
He's all right now. He's at my camp, holding a gun on Red.
Oh, good.
Where is Montana?
Oh, I don't know. He hasn't come back.
Huh? He and Red must have split up at the mouth of the creek. One going up and the other down. I think the best thing to do is wait for him here. He'd check and see if Red had come back.
Wait! The sergeant hit the ground as King growled, and in the next instant, a bullet whistled over his head. He started to roll out of the circle of light. King was already charging through the darkness at the man who had fired the shot. He leaped. But the man had stepped aside as King left the ground, and he only hit his shoulder. The man whirled and started firing at King. King could only dodge away from him into the darkness. One bullet, the sixth the man had fired, nicked him, and he lost his footing for a moment. When he scrambled to his feet, the sergeant and Montana were rolling on the ground. The sergeant had realized Montana's gun was empty, and not wanting to use his own because of King, he had charged the killer and wrestled him to the ground. King would have liked to help his master, but the positions of the two men changed so quickly that it was impossible for him to lend assistance. Montana was fighting for his life, and he knew it, and the battle matched the fury of the storm. Once, when he was on top for a moment, Montana took the opportunity to leap to his feet. He aimed a vicious kick at the sergeant's head, but the sergeant caught his foot and catapulted him backwards. Montana was on his feet before the sergeant could pin him to the ground again and lashed out with a pile-driving right to meet the sergeant's charge. The sergeant dodged it and countered with the right of his own. Then, hardly able to see each other in the roaring darkness, they stood toe-to-toe and slugged it out. Strong as Montana was, the sergeant's perfect condition began to swing the battle in his favor. The two men had been working closer and closer to the campfire. Shorty jumped to his feet, his handcuffs raised high above his head, ready to bring them down on the sergeant. He never completed the blow. King hit him and knocked him to the ground. Almost at once, the sergeant landed a final right to the jaw, and Montana dropped to the snow-covered earth.
All right, King. All right, boy, all right.
Here, let me help you, Sergeant.
No, I don't need any help, thanks. Just want to get my breath. Tell my dog something. Something he deserves to hear. Yes, King, good work, boy. But wait a minute. One of Montana's bullets hit you, boy.
Is it bad, Sergeant?
No, it only grazed him. I'll fix it up shortly and pick up our other prisoner. Deliver all four of them to the jail in Dawson and call this case closed.
In just a moment, Sergeant Preston will give you a preview of Friday's adventure. Whee! Hurry, hurry, hurry! Down the banister or down the stairs, you can't wait to get to the breakfast table when there's a heaping bowl full of Quaker popped wheat or Quaker popped rice waiting for you. Your appetite races for those king-size kernels of premium rice or wheat topped with milk or cream and fruit. Mmm. Take a luscious spoonful. Taste the nut-like flavor, the special crispness that's yours only in Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. Because they're shot from guns. Taste them tomorrow morning, sure. Remember to get the original, crisp, fresh Quaker Puffed Wheat and Rice shot from guns. Always buy the big Quaker red and blue package with the smiling Quaker man on the front. Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice are never sold in bags or bulk. Listen Friday when Sergeant Preston and Yukon King meet the challenge of the Yukon in the case of No Epitaph for Tombstone.
Red Miller was a trail bandit who preyed on prospectors laden with gold. King and I were trailing him beyond Lodestone. When we finally caught up with him, we found him a prisoner in jail, and we thought the case was closed. However, it was only the beginning of one of our most dangerous experiences.
Be sure to hear this exciting adventure Friday. These radio dramas, a feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. They are brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time by Quaker Popped Wheat and Quaker Popped Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Remember, for delicious hot breakfast, enjoy Quaker Oats. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious. The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. And here's why Quaker Oats is called the giant of the cereals. There's more growth, more endurance in oatmeal than any other whole grain cereal. So make your hot breakfast nourishing Quaker Oats. Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.